The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
A long time coming, and I know. Good afternoon. How are you? My name is Melvin Prince John again, and we are here today, 10, 14, 24, time 2 o'clock. Life is a gamble. So let's talk. Calling numbers 888-329-3306. And so, you need to vote this election like your life depend on it. Now, I know you've heard that time and time again, but all during the football games, there were nothing but commercials, commercial after commercial after commercial. And it was just one commercial that they kept playing that said that Mrs. Harris has taken money or has set aside money or taxpayers' money to pay for convicted criminals to get a operation or gender change while in prison. And I'm a bald head guy. I'm a Republican, brown eyes, light skin. And I was pulling my hair out to think that somebody who's committed a crime, who has been found guilty by a judicial system, decided that they want to not no longer be a male, but be a female, and our tax dollars were paying for he or she or she or he or however that situation is. Now, I disapprove of it, period. I know you didn't ask me, the same way you don't ask me to take my tax dollars, I am telling you I disapprove of it. And although who call up here and who can hear me under the sound of my voice, you would have to explain why this is insignificant and I should not even be worried about it. Because right now, you know, she would never get my vote under them terms, ever. But look, this is a Republican. I am Republican. This may not be a Republican show because I believe in balance. So everyone and anyone can call life is a gamble because that's what it's been for me, and I know it's been that way for a lot of other folks. But I did want to pose something that I need clarity on. On one side of the street, I see men, women, and children, African-American, and maybe some other folks. And then I see a picture of water hoses, and I see dogs. Water hoses and dogs. And on the other side of the street, I see between 1 and 200 Muslims who are well-dressed, bow ties is part of that dress, and they're standing out in front of a police station, telling the police station that if you harm or hurt the one of us, then we would take over this police station. And so the question that I lead today with is, why were not those hundreds of Muslims who was calling for the protection of their one brother, why were they not protecting the hundred of folks that had water hoses and dogs put on them? And if you can, please call up and answer that question. Now, if you can, let me know why that was not, why it didn't happen. Because I think that's part of the reason why you can't have reparations. That's part of the reasons why they don't know who to give the money to. And here's another thing I like to run past you. Don't ask me, and don't ask my generation, to lobby or advocate for your reparations. If you did not fight for your reparations at the time that you were going through that hell, then it's off the table. It is not off the table. Because I'm not going to rehash or remember or fight for something that you didn't fight for. And I think it's unfair for you to ask me to fight for that. And if you had two facets at that time, both an Islamic facet that had power in both a Christian fashion that didn't have any power, and you couldn't convince the Muslims to protect you, then that's bad negotiations. And so I'm not a big fan of reparations. So the ones who went to HBCUs, and they may not have been successful enough to go and negotiate a deal for themselves. Stop asking this generation. This generation has no interest in the reparation cause. Matter of fact, when we look at how we're being treated now, and everybody over 66 and everybody from 66 to 70 or 66 to 80 probably should apologize, because there's no way we should be experiencing what it is that you had gone through. And so you are comfortably being uncomfortable. Okay, I understand that. But I am not going to allow you to make this generation uncomfortable and to deal with the uncomfortable state that you have dealt with for 20 and 30 years. We got Maurice on the line, the Prophet Maurice. How are you today, Maurice?
How are you today, sir?
I'm not paying anybody reparations. Don't ask me to. I'm not. If you didn't fight for it at the time that you was catching hell, then so be it. Because what happens is that you keep saying, if you forget history, you should soon repeat it. And I keep telling you that his story is his story. It's not my story. But anyway, you know, there's a few things that we want to deal with today, and that's one of them, because I'm so sick and tired of folks saying, you know, vote for this person because they look like you or they're part of you. And so I want to pose a question, Maurice. So since a bunch of our elders are so frightened and so afraid based on what they have experienced, the ideology of fear, right? So are they not voting for the white candidate because he is resembling of the slave master, or are they not voting for the African-American candidate because he looks like the nurse who gave the Tuskegee syphilis to all those men? And some church person told me, well, you know, I would rather take the lesser of the two evil. And I say, well, show me that in the Bible. Show me where it says in the Bible that, because in the Bible it says evil is evil. Am I correct? And I could be wrong, but I think I'm correct. And so I needed to just, for somebody to call up and tell me and set the record straight, because, you know, it's no such thing as the lesser two evil. One is paying for a man to turn into a female with your tax dollars. The other one is trying to remove all of them out of the military that want to be women, you know. And so, you know, if you're in that kind of power, then so be it. But how does that affect the average day-to-day person in Philadelphia who is struggling with this systemic poverty? So they're not struggling with being poor. They're struggling with systemic poverty, that they're being subsidized every step of the way to maintain and stay where they are.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been looking at this thing going back and forth, and it's no such thing as less evil.
Mm.
It's just evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the only way it can be.
Period. Period,
and,
Maurice.
One side you think shows evil, but another side takes advantage of what you think is the lesser two evils.
Right.
So, you know, what I haven't seen, be honest, me myself, I have seen nothing in this race that has me having any confidence, because right now, especially with what's going on over in Israel, it doesn't matter who's in charge. We're going to still hold our place back in Israel. So if people are trying to choose by that,
well, I don't think they're trying to choose by that. What I'm trying to say is, why go so far? Tell me how outside your house, or tell me how inside your city, or tell me how, like, right, the things that you can see, touch, and feel, how it has changed. They said this when the mayor got elected, you know, and they said this when other Democratic folks got elected. So tell me how, if this was November the 6th, what would change different in your life, and tell me how a person who has obtained $1 billion in donation that was already a millionaire before they ran for the seat, understand what you pay for groceries, understand what you pay for gas, understand the problems that you go through, and why would they be disingenuous to say that they can fix those things without it going through certain legislative channels?
Well, all that's lies. Because nothing's going to change.
Right.
You know, nothing's going to change. Look, we've been promised all these changes for a long time, and nothing has been done. It's time for the people to finally come together and forget black and white, forget male and female. All we want is somebody to do the right thing. And I don't see nobody in the race that's doing the right thing. I don't see nobody. And that's the problem I have. Because when I walk out my door right now, I don't see no improvements. I don't see no change. I don't see no benefits when I walk out my door right now.
Right, right.
That's
right.
Same old. Just a bunch of promises that they'll never keep.
And here's my issue. When you go to the polling booth and you walk inside of there and you get your assistants to get inside there and you close the curtain behind you, your vote's one vote, right?
That's right.
One vote. And you got people that are dogmatic about telling you what you should do and why you should vote and what's the difference between the two candidates. Number one, they've not met either candidate. So it's above their pay grade. You know what I mean? I got a VIP pass to go see Donald Trump and Oaks tonight. You know what I mean? But then again, folks who don't have a VIP pass will have to stand in line and wait for 8 hours. And they're willing to do that. They're willing to do that. And so this election is just not one of those elections that don't have any dire consequences. From day one, after everything's tallied up, it has dire consequences because one person is going to have the kind of, they want to right all the wrongs, and the other person don't have a clear clue on what it is they want to do. Somebody just told them to run, and they've been on that bandwagon thinking that they're the next heir apparent to the seat.
Well, the problem I have is I've been following these politics for as long as I can vote, and I can't actually say that I can say, you know what? That's the guy I wish was in office or going to be in office. Right now, I just see same old, just like Coke and Pepsi. They're both selling you the same product.
Right. The difference is, and I'm going to take a short break, Maurice. Can you hold on till we come back?
Sure.
All right, good. We're going to take a 2-minute break, and we'll come right back.
Here's an important message for all first responders, tow truck operators, and anyone who works on Pennsylvania roadways. Every day, emergency responders just like you are struck by vehicles while working on the road. Some don't survive. Others are critically injured and can never go back to the jobs they love. Lives are changed forever in a matter of seconds. Today's drivers are more distracted than ever before and often don't see responders working on the road until it's too late. In 2020, emergency responders and other highway workers are being struck and killed at least once every 7 days. Remember, you can't help anyone if you become a victim yourself. Get trained in traffic incident management and learn how to survive. It's free of charge, and it's waiting for you now. Work safely, stay alert, and stay alive. Your family, friends, colleagues, and the public you serve need you. This message is brought to you by Penntime and Beasley Media Group. Learn more about Pennsylvania traffic incident management training at penntime.com.
When the Wall Street Journal needed expert views on crisis intervention and mental health, they called the consortium. When the United States Department of Health and Human Services needed to launch their national 988 hotline, they came to the consortium, and so can you. Here's consortium CEO John White Jr.
Mental wellness influences so many aspects of our lives. Long before the headlines, we were on the front lines. We've been pioneering the art of helping people feel better for more than 50 years. Our expertise is unsurpassed. Today, so many people are under a lot of pressure, telling themselves, I'm okay. Trauma is real. Our counselors can help you feel better now. And when you feel better, You achieve more. With our proven strategies and compassionate guidance, you and your gifts will shine. We've helped thousands of people, and we can help you feel better now. Give us a call. 215-596-8100.
That's right. Call the consortium. 215-596-8100. Listen to Bishop Mary. Call 215-596-8100.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away.
Know when to run. Maurice.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your patience, man. I appreciate it, man. Look, I just need for you to tell me, how do you think, because I'm not feeling Philadelphia, man. I'm looking at the two people who were supposed to represent Philadelphia that are now caught up in this scandal with Diddy. I mean, you know, and the Kevin Harts of the world, and there's somebody else. And I'm like, well, dang, we just got bad representation all around the board, as well as we're not getting any services from anybody. So all our politicians want to be rock stars now? Is that what it is?
Well, it's called celebrity status.
Oh, okay. Okay, as long as you put a name to it.
You know, used to be back in the day, you go to a councilman or a state rep, and he say, listen, I need something done. And they might get back to you, but it might not be what you want. But guess what? They got back with you at least within 2 weeks. Now, take a picture. Sign an autograph, eat a hamburger.
And they won't
and
get back to you.
That's all you're going to get.
So look, Maurice, I'm going to do this right here. I'm going to stick you on hold because I'm going to take my next caller, right? But I want to come back to you because you're going to co-host with me. You're going to co-host with me. So let me put you on hold. Let me take Cody, and then I'm going to come back to you. Is that all right, Maurice?
Fine with me.
Okay, great. Next caller, how are you today? Cody? Cody, hello? Hello? Next caller, can you hear me? Next caller, are we there? Okay.
Are you?
Can you hear me? I can hear you faintly. Hello?
Hello, does this sound better?
Yes, there it is. There it is. Is that Cody? Becky Cody?
It's Cody.
Hey, you know, I'm going to have to talk to my guy back there, you know? Becky, how are you?
I'm doing well. Today.
How's Philadelphia treating you?
It's okay. I've been here for a year. Coming from Atlanta, I don't know how much longer I'll stay, but Philly is okay.
Did you have our famous Philly cheesesteak? Or a famous Philly pretzel or a famous Philly water ice?
I have. Not the pretzel. I've tried Max's, which I heard is staple. It's on like a corner. Mm-hmm. And I had the famous water ice, yes, from Rita's.
Okay. All right. There you go. So you're participating in the processes here in Philadelphia. What brings you to Philadelphia?
Work. I started a new job, and that was one of my choices. I had three choices, and Philly was one of them. And that was the only one that was on the East Coast. So coming from Atlanta, I said, I'll stay on the East Coast. And now I'm here in Philly.
Well, look, we thank you for calling Life's a Gamble. So I normally ask folks who call up, are you rolling the dice today with your life, or are you passing them?
Am I rolling the dice or am I passing
them?
That
is correct.
I am rolling the dice.
There you go. There you go. You know, if you just said something else other than that, I'd have been upset.
I've been upset.
Because I tell you why. I think that in this day and age in life, you need to put your destiny in your own hands and then meet other people who would like to join your hands in supporting your destiny. You can ill afford, especially women, is to give someone else the control of the dice that governs and control your life. And so that's my little soapbox, you know. So is there anything else you want to share with us in this next 1 minute before I take my next caller?
No, there's not. I greatly appreciate your advice. And Go Birds.
There you go. Thank you. Here we go. Thank you, Becky. I appreciate you calling me. Now, next Monday from 2 to 3, you always got a home here on Life's a Gamble, and I'll talk with you later. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to go back to Maurice. Maurice.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for your patience, man. I had to call in. She just came here from Atlanta. And so, you know, I didn't ask her, of all the places to choose, you know, why here? Why not Baltimore? Why not New York? You know, but hey, you know, and that goes to show you, I don't have any ill will for Philadelphia. I just can't believe that we are encountering, oh my God, hold up. So Maurice, now let's put this on the table. So, you know, the male figure that's running for president, right?
Right.
He wants to do away with taxing tips and taxing overtime.
Right, and I agree with that totally.
Good, and so I want him to, and I want you to tell me what it is you would like him to get rid of. I want him to get rid of the surcharges that the immigrants who own stores charge American people. If I'm using my credit card and you charge me an extra dollar for using my credit card, I want the surcharges to stop. What do you think? What is it you would want? So, okay, he's saying that he's going to stop taxing overtime. He's going to stop taxing tips. So I want the surcharges to stop. What is it that you would want?
But is that surcharges from the government or is that?
No, the surcharge.
Owner?
So if I go to the store and I buy an Arizona iced tea and the Arizona iced tea is 99 cents, it's on the can, correct? Mm-hmm. Well, then when I go to the counter, they say 149 or 150. Like they add their own tax on something that comes from the manufacturer at one price. Or if I use my credit card and they take cash only, they charge me a dollar more. I remember during the PPL time period, COVID, then I was at Hook and Reel in the Cheltenham area. And because folks who the manager deemed as undesirables or low-income folks or the one that had the PPO USA card, he was charging them an extra 13% if they used a debit card. Now, I wound up getting them fired and removed. You know, couldn't get them locked up, but they fired them. But it's just that we have comfortably accepted being overcharged for almost everything. So now, what is it that you would like for us to tell the president on your behalf?
Well, I definitely think them surcharges should stop. But I always thought that was they were just pushing on the cars from the credit card company on us.
Mm-mm.
That they charging them.
No. Let me tell you how the credit card. So let's say you use your Cash App card, right? So you take money out the bank. So your Cash App card might charge you, your bank might charge you $350, or any machine, ATM machine, might charge you $350 for that transaction. But then the card itself charges you another $250. So you wind up paying $6 just to take your own money out. And I think that we are the worst at it because we can convince the population, a group of people in our population, to accept whatever. And they'll do it. I looked at a girl today at 7-Eleven. She had to put a whole email in order to use her credit card.
That's
kidding
ridiculous.
Me? I went to the gym, LA Fitness, out in Conshohocken and stuff like that, a Planet Fitness. And I said, they say, so we need your email. We need your driver's license, your Social Security number. I said, for a gym membership? They said, yeah, we need all that information. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't need all that information. But then where are my congressional people at, Maurice? Where are my politicians at, Maurice? Stopping them from getting all this information from us.
Well, that's not what they do now. It's open wide. Everybody wants all the data they can get on us. You also know that your Echo device listens to you, too.
Yeah.
Every time you use the computer, it's logged in and it's spread around the country. That's one thing I would like him to do is stop that. Stop that that information that's spread about everybody's condition. If I was to look up something on Google, as soon as I turn to Facebook, that same thing I was looking up is now an advertisement on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So what I would like.
You know that, right? And so I think it has unlimited effect on people that are put in bad situations, low-income people, heavily subsidized folks, you know, folks that are going through some issues, and so they're willing to accept whatever.
You're 100% right.
But so let me ask you a question, because you were young at one point in time.
That's right.
What were the services afforded to you when you were 20, 25, and 30 that helped mold you? Did somebody say, go out and get a job? Did you go to the military? Were you able to work at one of the local factories in your neighborhood, in your community? Like, what services did you have that we don't have nowadays that we're looking at these kids as if they just ruin because we don't have anything provided for them? What did you have coming up?
Well, first thing I know from my family is as soon as I turned of age, you had to go get a job. It was no laying around the crib waiting for a check or hoping you could apply for no check. You had to go earn. You had to earn your way. And that's the problem now. Everybody wants a check. Or they're trying to figure out a way how to get a check. Nobody wants to pay what they're worth. You got to go out there and work for something. You don't get nothing for free no more. But that's what they expect. They expect you just to let anything go. They expect you to play it. Let you play your loud music any way you want to play it. Talk out in the street any way you want to. Disrespect seniors.
So I got Clyde and I got a few other folks on the line. So what I like to do is still keep you on hold. I want you to hang around a little bit. Is that okay? Because I want you to hear me dialogue with them, and I want to come back to you. Is that okay?
That's cool.
Okay, look, this is what I'm going to do. I want to ask you this question about the folks who had gotten shot on the SEPTA bus or shot at. Are you familiar with that a couple of days ago?
Like the back of my hand.
Okay, so I'm going to talk with the other two folks. I got Miss Mary and I see Clyde is on. I'm going to speak with them, and then I'm going to come back to you, and you and I are going to talk about that SEPTA bus shooting. Can you hold a minute?
You got it.
Okay, I want to take a one-minute break, and we're going to come back and go to Clyde, then we'll go to Miss Mary.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day, the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away,
know when to run. Clyde. Sitting at the table. Clyde, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Clyde, I'm so happy you called me, man. Because, look, I posed a question. I wanted to know, on one side of the street, I had women, children, and men, and they were putting water hose on them and dogs on them. And on the other side of the street, I had well-dressed, a couple hundred men with bow ties on, in front of the very police station a day earlier that had sick dogs and water hoses. I got a couple of questions. You know, number one, how come the police station didn't put the dogs and water hoses on the men with the suits on? That's number one. And number two, how come the church folks didn't solicit the Muslim folks to protect them?
That I mean, is a baffling one to the average person, but I mean, when you got, I look at it, if you got stand up men, you know, that's willing to fight, that's how I look at it.
I need me a better answer because if you're talking about reparations and you're talking about giving money away or bringing money back to a bunch of people who were hurt, who were affected by this right here, then I need to know how come, because I see a picture with Martin and I see a picture with Malcolm. I see a picture. But I don't see that there was ever that unity other than them two. Them two came together. But they didn't bring a collective of people to secure the base. And so this generation's not fighting for any reparations for people who fought for it and who did not fight for it, but they want this generation to stick their necks out on the line to fight old demons that they never took care of. Do you think that's fair? You know, I'm using fair lightly. I would say disingenuous, but do you think it's fair?
No, it's not fair. And I think you spoke about this before, you know, as far as, what is transpiring. It's like, we don't have the backbone. We don't have the fight in us like, you know, our ancestors. You know what I mean? We just don't for some reason. I just don't get it. I mean, just to segue a little bit, you know, it's like Maurice was talking to, I mean, you was talking about your membership and them asking for all this information. And it just took me back when I first got my Social Security card, and it clearly states on the bottom of it, do not give his number to anybody.
Clearly.
Anybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, we volunteer a lot of stuff.
Too much. We comfortably do it. Like, we don't challenge or fight anything. You know, that's ridiculous. And I'm saying that because I don't want to do the separation between our elders who were responsible at every segment of the way. Because I got elders who would tell you that are 80 years old and older that they were once Republicans. And I got new elders that would tell you that, okay, I'm a Democrat and I always vote. And so the ones that were Republican shaking their head about what's going on in today's world, the ones that always vote are comfortable with doing nothing and letting it continue to go on. And nobody's holding them accountable because everybody say we can always get the elders to vote and we are comfortably taking care of the elders. Here's a fundamental problem. I grew up in Knightstown, right? 4400 block. And when I went back as an adult and somebody who got a couple bucks, a couple coins in the bank, I like to say. And I look at there's a food desert under a bridge that they paid $80 million for. If $80 million would have went in Chaffranc, PA, King of Pressure, Chestnut Hill, Plymouth Meeting, anywhere, the trajectory of the community would have changed drastically. But you put $80 million in different places in Philadelphia, and there's no movement with the people. You raise the property taxes and stuff, and there's no economic movement with the people, and yet everybody's comfortable with going to the polls and voting to put the same people back in office. That's a problem. I'm going to give you 1 minute to help me out with that. I got a full slate right now. So tell me how we going to fix that in 1 minute, Clyde.
We can't do that in 1 minute. You know that, man. we can't fix that in 1 minute, man. You know, we got a generation of people that's soft as doctor's cotton right now.
I know.
You know what I mean? And like you said, don't fight for anything, man. I mean, anything. And then when you get people such as yourself, such as Joyce, such as Miss Mary, such as Maurice, you know, we're the bad guys.
Yeah,
you know,
they're the soldiers, man. They're the soldiers. They stand against anybody. They don't care. When you get them a telephone and a calling number, they will stand their truth against anybody. So let me ask you this question before I let you go. Are we rolling them or are we holding them?
Oh, man, I got to control my own destiny, man. You said it yourself.
We're rolling them. Yeah, we're not past them. Thank you so much for your call. Miss Mary, hang in there. Maurice, hold on. And let's go to Miss Bilal.
Going on?
How are you today?
Okay, and yourself?
I want to thank you for taking the time out your busy schedule. So I'm going to pose this question to you. And I need you to answer this question. I need you to skirt around. I know you're a politician and stuff like that. But on one side of the street, I have women, men, and children with water hoses and dogs being put on them. And on the other side of the street, I have over 100 to 200 men, well-dressed suits and bow ties on, standing in front of the very police station that put the hoses on those folks a day before, a day prior, telling the police officers if anything happens to the one brother that they have in that police station, then they're willing to come through and tear this whole police station up. And so my question is, how come the brothers didn't help the folks who got the water hoses put on them? And did the church folks ask the brothers to help them?
I'm really not clear on that question that you're coming up with. That sounds like a half hypothetical situation.
It ain't no hypothetical. So the Muslims who stood for their one brother being arrested by the cops so the cops don't beat them down, also same cops who participated in putting water hoses on the Christians who wanted to march peacefully and stuff like that. And so I'm only asking that question because when folks talk about giving us reparations and we so divided like this, who would they give it to? Would they give it to you opposed to giving it to me, or would they give it to me for you? So I'm supposed to give you some of the reparations, or are you supposed to give me some of the reparations? So are we...
And you can't even keep it going in that way either, because in order to get reparations, everybody got to come together to be able to do
that's
that.
Exactly correct.
So that's not a give it to you or give it to them. That's a come together.
Give it to them. Right. I agree with you 100%. That's all I'm saying, because we've sent trillions of dollars in places, right? But yet we haven't proven ourselves worthy. This is a question. It's not a hypothetical. It's a question. So we haven't proven ourselves worthy for you to give us enough money so we can help our own poor, so we can help our own people in poverty? Or have we been your commodity for so long that you disregard giving us money, but you'll open the border up, bring strangers in here, and also you would send money abroad? So help me out.
See, I'm in disagreement with you talking about opening up the borders and giving them money. That sounds like a number 45 rhetoric conversation right there. So I'm not even going
to... I ain't 45, so it wouldn't be my rhetoric. So the borders are open and folks are coming in, right?
That sounds like a straight talking point from the rhetoric. Let's be real.
I like you so much. Let me just break it down. The only reason, the only problem I have.
So if we are, no.
Go ahead.
So
I'm listening.
We all are immigrants. Half the people.
Did I say immigrants? I didn't say immigrants. I said open up the border. I had nothing to do with saying immigrants.
Open up the border is immigrants. From, you can be Mexican. You can be,
I don't know
Hispanic,
where they coming from.
You can be Haitian. You can be African. You can be Haitian. You can be Jamaica. They all come into the country that basically supposed to be represented itself as a country of immigrants to come and
anyway,
learn
right?
To live
anyway, right?
Free from oppression.
So that won't be our fight today. We got another day. We will fight.
We're going to be the fight.
I got a couple people on the line. That won't be our fight today. I know you're doing something good and something positive. So let me know what it is you're doing out there, so I can tell others on my side of the camp. They're on your side of the camp, I already know. So I'm going to tell my African-American Republicans on this side that the sheriff is doing something positive that we need to participate and help her with. So what is it?
We're always doing something positive. I know. I want people to basically go on to phillysheriff.com.
Okay.
When you go on to phillysheriff.com, you kind of learn everything that we are doing. We are open. It's right there. You can see what we're doing. You can see what we have done. When I took office, I came into a mess. And so we have made some progress, decades of stuff. But you know, when black women get voted in, they expect for us to turn everything around. And that's okay. Not realistic.
So when qualified people get voted in, they can only do the best that they can do. Right? Regardless of who they are. Just happened to be a woman. Because I was trying to tell a friend of ours, Andrea Sanders, he was like, well, when you speak to Donald Trump, can you ask him if he would want an African-American woman like myself to interview him? I say, no, he would probably want the best journalist. You just happen to be African-American. So we proud of what you do in the sheriff department. You know what I mean? And we see you as doing the best job. You know, the gender, you know, it doesn't matter based on the job being done. You know, nobody's going to say, I only want to see a female sheriff in order to get some help. I only want to see a male sheriff and to get some help. No, I want to see the person that can help me. So now you got one more minute, and then I'm going to go to commercial, and I'm going to take the other two callers. Minute is all yours.
Okay, so basically, to get the best information, if you really go to phillysheriff.com, because okay. In a minute, I can't give you.
No, that's cool. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'm going to make sure. And I appreciate you calling and letting us hear where it is we can go. You know, and that just shows that you're not just on one side of the track. You've given everybody the information. So I'm going to go to a one-minute commercial. Thank you for calling. Oh, I got one question. Are you rolling them or are you passing the dice?
What do you mean?
So in life, we hold our own destiny. I just put them in the form of dice. So are you rolling the dice, holding your own destiny, or are you passing them for somebody else to control your destiny?
No, I'm always rolling.
Thank you. Have a tremendous day. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to take Miss Mary, and we still got Maurice, our co-host, on the line.
Between business life, social life, and her best bud, Loki, Beverly has a lot to focus on. Especially while fighting Stargardt, a blinding retinal disease that starts during childhood and gets worse over time. But despite her vision loss, she's hopeful because she knows she's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding diseases, providing real hope to those fighting vision loss. And our nationwide community of local chapters provides networking and support for people with vision loss, as well as their loved ones. Because the best way to fight against blinding diseases is to fight together. And for Beverly, winning the fight means focusing on what's closest to her. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more about how you can help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away.
While sitting at the table. Miss Mary, how are you?
Yes, good afternoon.
Oh, man,
Chris.
It's such a pleasure, man. Thank you. I always see you as my co-host. I had to let the other two people go so I could spend some quality time with you.
Oh, no, I love to hear Maurice's ideas.
I still got him on hold. Maurice. Don't worry. We're going to get to him, but I need to spend time with you because that shooting in 57th and Catherine or Kristen or in West Philly, just shooting a SEPTA bus up. And the bullets hitting innocent folks, you know, and I got a couple people who just became correctional officers, and they see that these kids, these juveniles, come up there at this early age. And I'm just amazed how they're going to sit for years of their life until they become adults and then remain in prison.
Yeah, but what I called about was the reparations, you know, and I think the mindset of a lot of our young people that they're giving us something. We worked, paid taxes until the day that you die. My parents did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The government is not giving me anything. The individual is not giving me anything. We worked and paid taxes. If anything, we're giving to people that are not working. We're giving to other countries. We're giving, like you said, for people that have sex changes. We've been fighting the war on poverty for over 60 years.
Decades. It went from the war on drugs to the war on poverty
war
to the
drugs,
war on poverty.
I mean, trillions of dollars.
Right,
and
right.
Now the war on terror.
Right.
And now they're talking about we're $35 trillion in debt.
Right.
They didn't give me anything. I worked for everything that I have.
So let me ask you a question.
If that's the mindset of people, then what about people paying off the student loans?
Right. So
or a lot of things that we're paying for. Paying for wars. If that's our mindset, then we shouldn't be paying for anything.
Exactly.
Then.
And this generation is saying, they don't want 40 acres in the mule. So who is asking for 40 acres and a mule?
I'm asking for it for my ancestors that my grandfather was born into slavery.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. So if you're asking for it, who do you expect to get it for you or get it to you?
No, I expect the government to give me what I paid into the system. We paid for the Jewish people. We paid for the Japanese. We paid for the Koreans.
Right, but
if that was the mindset, every war that we were involved in, we paid. And we wasn't even involved with the Jewish people, paid reparations to them.
So let me ask you a question.
We assisted the government with Germany.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Hold on,
Ms. Mary. Hold on. With all of the politicians in play right now, especially in the city you live in, not the state, but the city you live in, how many of them, state rep, state senator, city council, mayor, deputy mayor, how many of them have been proactive in this cry for 40 acres and a mule? How many of them?
Yeah, well, you know what? I look at them as basically, they're not educated on a lot of the things that the city and the state is entitled to. And that's a problem. You know, I'm finding out a lot of things that we allowed to go through in this mm-hmm. city mm-hmm. where people were cheated out of their benefits and the money went straight to the federal government.
You should ask me. I sit at the state in the state with the Republicans, and I watched how Donna Bullock, attorney, Joanne McClendon, attorney, Sharif Street, attorney, and yet Vincent Hughes, not an attorney, state senator, Anthony Williams, state senator, let $110 million leave Philadelphia. It was earmarked for Philadelphia. And Vincent Hughes, of all people, would say that the paperwork was too convoluted, or I'm surprised he even pronounced that word. But the mere fact that he says it's so difficult, and you got all these attorneys at your disposal and friends of these attorneys, and yet you let, and then y'all voted him back in. Nobody ran against him. Between Anthony Williams and Vincent Hughes and Dwight Evans, that's 60 years, 20 years each. And you can't tell me what neighborhood has reaped the benefit for African Americans that each one of them are in.
But you know what? I look at it this way. Since we have the younger people on board now, they need to know not only their history, but they need to know politics, what's going on in their city and state. We should not even allow not one policy to go through, and you're going to tell me you don't know how to implement it.
How about that? Thank you so much for that.
There you go, right there.
But here's my issue. My issue is, okay, you know I'm a Republican, okay? I got a bunch of Republicans like me, African-American Republicans. So the question is, do you get what you get when you vote for these people, when you keep voting for these people? Anthony Williams, every last two elections, he's been afraid that they were going to run someone against him and he was going to lose those seats right there. But he's been in long enough to get a pension. Hadn't done too much. I don't know what he's done. You know, Vincent Hughes don't have that because he thinks he's a superstar. You know what I mean? He's starstruck. Okay, I get that, you know, but my question is, if you feel as though nothing's been done, then explain to me why you vote for these folks. Now, when you go into the booth, your vote's only one vote. I get that. But it's a lot of seniors that's over the age of 66 to 80 or 90 that have voted for these people, knowing that these people have not done anything for the younger generation. And I give you 1 minute, Ms. Mary. We got a whole bunch of folks on the line.
You have to look at what they did in West Philadelphia. They had Councilwoman Janie Blackwell in office for decades. Her husband was before her. And the younger people felt that they wanted to make a change. We cannot have anybody sitting in a position for
decades.
I would say 50, 60
decades.
Years.
Decades.
You know, I stayed on my job for 45 years because I became a whistleblower. against the state, what I saw, what they were doing wrong, cheating people out of benefits.
Well, Ms. Mary, look.
You know, so you have to have that mindset. You can't sit around a lot of people and say, okay, I don't know, or if you're seeing people doing the wrong thing and still keep quiet. And this is what's going on throughout the country. We have people sitting
still being quiet.
So
I got to let you go. I want to take the other phone call that called in.
Okay.
So no. Are we rolling them or are we passing them?
Oh, no, I'm always rolling and fighting a good fight.
Well, you got a home here, Ms. Mary. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, let's go with Derek. Let's go with Derek on line three. Hey, Derek, how are you today?
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Prince? I just tuned in to hear you get the knowledge.
Oh, man. They rumbling. I don't know if you heard about, and I got my guy Maurice the Prophet on, so I'm going to give you a couple minutes, and I'm going to go to him real quick. So can you talk to me a little bit about that shooting in West Philly on 57th Street with the bus? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I heard a little pieces of it. Yeah, that was a bad situation.
Anyway, we can prevent that. Have they caught the folks, or what's going on with that? Because I hear three women got shot. He got hit with bullets. You know what it's like to get hit with bullets.
Yes, I do, my brother.
Right, so do I. And I'm like, oh man, like, can you imagine your sister or your mom or your cousin, and they live with you, and they only get there because somebody said they got shot on the bus that they was coming home on.
The only reason why I couldn't relate to it because that's the behavior we didn't tolerate in my generation. Mothers and children and women were off limits
yeah.
for any altercation.
And Sunday. And Sundays was off limits.
And Sundays was off limits.
Yeah.
You did whatever you had to do to prevent that kind of gunfire. And also in daylight, broad daylight as well.
But they got mad at the bus driver because he wouldn't let them on. So here's my question to you. Before I ask you, are you rolling them or are you passing them? Do you believe that bus drivers, UPS drivers, FedEx drivers, Amazon drivers, Uber drivers should carry guns?
Believe it or not,
and school teachers.
They were. Bus drivers were carrying guns in the 40s and 50s. They were gun carriers. That was during the segregation situation, but they were gun holders.
And, I think they should. Do you think they should still carry?
Yeah. Yes, they should.
There you go.
Because that's initially how things were.
So now here's a question for you. Are you holding the dice with your life or are you passing them?
Holding it.
There you go. So you're holding them, you're rolling them. Look, thank you very much, man. I got a couple more minutes. I'm going to get back to the Prophet Maurice. Thank you for calling. You know, on Mondays from 2 to 3, you always got a home here. And I appreciate your call.
Yes, sir.
All right. Reese.
Yep.
Miss Mary was fired up, boy. Miss Mary always fired up.
Hey, listen. It's still smoking in my house. It's still smoking. Miss Mary, you know, Miss Mary don't play no games. She don't take no stuff.
So I was only asking the question, like, okay, so who do we get a 40 acres and a mural to? Who goes and get that for them? You know what I mean? Because this generation don't want nothing to do with that concept.
Well, 40 acres and the mule is over. And first of all, when they talk about reparations, the only person that need to be involved in writing reparations is the people that are associated with reparations. No other culture, no other color, no other creed. If we're going to write reparations, it need to be coming from the source, not from what somebody else say it should be.
Right.
It should be coming from the source. And until they do that, I ain't down.
Now, the sheriff called, and the sheriff said, well, they shouldn't go to you, Prince, and they shouldn't go to me. They should go to a collective. And I'm still trying to find a collective, because when I asked her, if we can't protect each other and we sit there and watch the sensationalism of stuff happening to us, whether there's a knee put on our neck or rather we get shot down, then are we so consumed with the sensationalism opposed to the safety of one another?
No, we need to be concerned about the safety of each other. It used to be a time when something went down in the neighborhood, the neighbors would show. Nowadays, neighbors don't show. Matter of fact, when you come outside your house, you don't even greet your next door neighbor. You might give them the gas face. You don't even say hello, good morning, how you doing, how's everybody. You just look at them and grunt and go.
Well, some people take their phone and put it up, take a picture or a selfie.
Well, they're more concerned about that than actually calling for help.
Hey, man, I thank you for calling me, man. I appreciate you hanging online with me.
One other
time.
Thing real quick.
I'm listening.
That 57th Street thing?
Yeah.
If the bus driver would have called the police and signaled for the police when they first got on and wouldn't pay, he wouldn't have had the shooting.
I know that's right. So let me ask you, are you holding the dice or are you passed?
You know I'm rolling.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man. You're always a guest on this, on Life's a Gamble, man, on Monday from 2 to 3. And you have a great day, Maurice.
Yes, sir.
Everybody plays the fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule.